painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking, KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
If you've ever wondered about the healing and soothing powers of different plants, today you're in for a treat. We'll visit with a local Winonan about the art of herbalism. We'll find out how this individual became involved with plant medicine. We'll also find out about some of the amazing health benefits that anyone can achieve from herbs, and much more. You're listening to Artbeat with Terry Tenseth. Good afternoon. I have a special guest with me, and it's a subject matter we have not approached before. And this individual creates art with herbs, basically, right?
It is. Herbalism is an age-old art.
It's an art and a science.
Yes.
Okay. So, first off, go ahead and introduce yourself so people know who you are.
My name is Bonnie Krakel, and I'm a local herbalist here in town. I'm a traditional Western herbalist.
So, how did you get involved with the field of herbalism?
That could be a lengthy question, but I'll really try to shorten it up. Actually, I grew up on a farm, you know, here in Winona County. And so roaming the woods was fun. It was just, I loved it. And I felt peace and harmony. And I just felt so grounded, you know, when I was in the woods playing. And grew up, you know, in school, got married, children, everything else. I loved to read. And I was reading some novels on the Oglala Indians, which are members of the Sioux. And the book, the author, constantly was talking about the medicine man, the holy man, the medicine woman. Everybody had their medicine bundles, and I was just so intrigued by it. And so I went to Barnes & Noble, bought this herb book. My mom still has the farm. I went back to the farm, and I'm starting to identify all these plants. Plants, I used to take tractors and wagons and just roll over because they were just a bunch of green weeds.
Well, they didn't know any better, right?
Yeah, I didn't know any better. You know, I was very naive, even though I felt this harmony with them, but never knew really knew what it was. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, here's horsetail. I knew a lot of your basic ones, elderberry, burdock, dandelion, yellow dock, you know, the thistles. I knew a lot of plants, but I didn't know they had medicine in them. And then all of a sudden, horsetail jumps out at me. You know, it's like, I'm horsetail. Just a lot of other plants, too. The woods are full of them. And it was like a whole realm opened up to me. And it's like, welcome. And then when I started training, I kind of did a lot of studying on my own, just identifying plants and things like that. And then I picked up a book by Rosemary Gladstar, and she lives in Vermont. And in the back of the book, she said she did apprenticeships. And I'm like, oh, this is cool, but Vermont? And at that time, I had two kids in college and last two in high school. And I thought, how in the world am I going to pull this off? But I did. Off to Vermont I went for 3 years.
Wow.
And studied with her in traditional herbal medicine. And it's an awesome journey, you know. And more and more, the plants kept pulling me in. She told me, she says, the plants have always been in you. And it's like there was kind of like a fire, you know. You get this little ember glowing there. And then it sparks and it ignites. And it's kind of what happened. It's like they've always been around me. I grew up with them. I gardened ever since I was able to walk. We were totally self-sufficient on the farm. We did our own beef, pig, chickens, eggs, grew our own vegetables. You know, we had fruit, we had apples, we had this and that. So, I mean, we totally lived off the land. So, I mean, herbal medicine, totally.
Makes sense.
Makes sense with me, right? You know, I've always been that kind of person. So, yeah, it grew into a practice. Rosemary, I remember sitting around the circle, you know, the first, like our introductory circle, you know, everybody's introducing themselves and stuff, and she says, well, you'll be a practitioner. And I'm like, no. I says, taking people's health into my hands and helping them on, you know, a healing path.
Seems frightening.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, I will not do that. And then I remember going back the second year and she says, how many people have you helped? And I'm like, oh, you know, when you think about it, it just comes natural. And just the more I learned, I was just like a sponge. I didn't get enough knowledge yet. And I just kept going from here to here to here and keep learning more and more and more. And I had to do anatomy and all this and that, you know, and you have to learn the body. But we look at the body totally different than allopathic medicine. I've been trained in analyzing the body, or we're not supposed to say diagnosis.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I read faces, I read tongues, your hair, your skin, your nails, all tell me what's going on with your body on the inside.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Yes.
You are what you eat, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, 12 years later, I'm still practicing, love what I do. I have a product line out there. And like a lot of people will call me and say, well, thank you, you know, and wow, that worked great. Thanks. And I'm like, don't thank me. Thank God, our creator, and thank the plants. I'm only a tool. I'm only a tool that intercepted this message for you to pass this on to you to help them heal. Everybody has this journey that they're on. And if there's illness or something that they're inflicted with, or maybe even a simple cold or whatever too, you know, I'm just kind of this guide to help us on this healing path. I have seen the herbs do miraculous things. It's just so amazing what they can do. I've treated so much trauma with herbs, and I've seen broken bones heal in a week. It's just amazing.
I have never heard that, and we should go back into that a little bit. At the beginning of the interview, you said you're a specific type of herbalist. What was that again?
Well, a traditional. All of my teachers are traditional herbalists. Like Rosemary's actually was taught from her grandmother. I have an herbalist, a teacher down in Alabama, Phyllis Light. She was taught from her grandparents. My favorite, I would say my favorite too, is Paul Red Elk. He's a Lakota herbalist, and he was taught from his grandparents. He grew up in South Dakota. And then I have a Choctaw Indian lady too, and she was taught from her grandparents too, her grandmother. And Native American medicine, that's what I am more connected with, because that's what was around here. When I was doing my training with Rosemary, the second year I went out there, you're always introduced to plants, and we were talking about Solomon seal. And I told her, I says, oh, we have Solomon seal everywhere. Rosemary started an organization called United Plant Savers. And this is an organization to help preserve medicinal plants, because a lot of them have been, I call it the black market, like golden seal and ginseng being harvested from woods, from the woodlands, and just sold, you know, for profit. You know, these people are just selling it to make money.
Right.
And that's it. You know, they don't get the concept of the healing that these plants have. But she started that organization, and Rosemary has Solomon seal on the endangered plant list. And I told her, I says, oh, we have it everywhere. And I took a picture of one that I found south of Winona here down in the Rushford area, south of there actually too. And I stood that plant up, and it was taller than me. And its leaf was wider than my hand. And I took a picture of this, and I took it back, you know, and showed it to her. And she's like, what do you feed those plants in Minnesota? And I'm like, you know, they're grandfather plants. They haven't been harvested and over-harvested, wildcrafted, as people put it, like the East and West Coasts have, and some of the South, too. Because when I started herbal medicine, when I went out to Rosemary, I'd never heard of another herbalist in the Midwest at all. And I get out there about, I think it's 1,300 miles to her place from my place, and I get out there and I ask her, and I says, isn't there any herbalist in the Midwest that I can learn this from? So I don't you know, travel halfway across the country. Yeah. They have four kids and a husband at home, you know, to fend for themselves while I'm gone. And she says, well, have you ever heard of Matthew Wood? And I'm like, no, who is he? Well, he has actually lived in Minnetrista at the time. And so then after I got back, I did some studying and stuff and did some things with him too. Yeah, he was the only herbalist around here. Well, once I got to know him, the classes he taught, you know, there's some other herbalists from the cities. But now there's more and more. There's more and more around here. I met this wonderful guy down in Nebraska. He does traditional Chinese medicine or TCM medicine too, along with Western herbalism. But as a traditional, I've been taught, that's just it, traditional herbalism. You know, my teachers, my mentors all been taught that way too. I mean, going to a college and learning stuff is wonderful, but when you learn herbal medicine and plant medicine, you need to go to the woods.
Right.
You need, your teachers are those plants. You need to study those plants. You'll understand how they work. I mean, you don't just use a plant. Let me see, what's a good woodland plant? Well, like Solomon seal or any of those. You learn the constituents of the plants. You know, you learn their properties.
You probably learn if one's healthy or one's not, too.
If a plant is healthy or not? Well, you can tell that by looking at it. But when you go out to the woods, they're all healthy. Mm. They're all so vibrant and so full of spirit. And then Karen Sanders from California, my Choctaw Indian lady, she actually emphasizes to start your own gardens and things like that too. She says, nurture these plants and get to know these plants. She does a lot. Like I've sent her some seeds from here that they don't have out there that she wants to introduce some more of the prairie plants and things like that out there. And I've actually taken Solomon seal seeds from here and taken them out to Vermont too. And Rosemary had planted them in her woodland. And I think about 2-3 years later, when I was back there, I was like, oh, look at these beautiful little Solomon seal babies. But yeah, those plants are all healthy. They're free. You know, they're wild, and the spirit in them is so good. And that's with herbal medicine, too. You blend your spirit with the plant spirit. And in herbalism, you make your medicine. You know, you're taught how to do that. Homeopathy, I know, is a little different. You know, they use extractions of, or actually dilutions of plants. And some homeopaths, I think, make their medicine. I know a few out in the East Coast that did, but a lot of it, you know, they order in and stuff like that. But in herbal medicine, and naturopaths too, naturopaths are more related to herbalism or herbalists. But I know an herbalist, though, you go out there and you harvest the burdock roots and you dry those roots, you know, and you can make them into whatever you want to later on, or you tincture those roots. You go out and connect with the plants. You harvest the plants yourself. That's what we did. You know, think of the Indian village that was around here 150 years ago. The medicine man, right, or the medicine woman went out. Actually, they would probably send somebody else out, you know, and say, I need some barberry leaves this afternoon, you know, go get me some. We need some more dandelion leaves. Go harvest me some. And so that's what they did. You know, you knew your plants. And that's the way, too. You know, when you're getting your medicine, you know what's in it. I have a lot of people walk into my office. I had a lady yesterday asking me about something that's in the bottle. And I says, this is what's in the bottle. And you know what's there. And you can relay that to your client, too, that you know that's there. And that gives them a better feeling of confidence and a better feeling. I can just see them relax more when they know that I know what's in that medicine. And I think it really helps them, too, to feel more at ease, too, when they're taking a medicine like that or taking herbal remedies like that, and they know where it came from. I had that lady that stopped into my office yesterday. She almost ordered something off the internet, and she goes, I just wasn't sure.
She said, you should question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should. I think it's good to have the distinction of what homeopaths are versus herbalists versus the other forms of self-healing fields. So any information that you give us that only helps the listener understand better.
Yeah, there was homeopaths, and there was a lot of naturopaths, massage therapists too, like when I was in training, a lot of them. Because they taken the herbalism course, they were taught how to make that medicine. And that's so much fun. I love my kitchen. And all my dried herbs in there and making it. And I remember the first batch or the first remedy I made, my husband was coming home from work, and I had like some burdock root in there and some dandelion root in there and maybe some nettle leaves in there or whatever, you know. And he comes in the kitchen and says, oh, wow, what smells so good? And he opens up the pot and he's like, what is this? You know, it's like cooking in a whole different way, throwing the what people call weeds, you know, in their backyard into a pot and simmering it down on the stove.
How do you go about knowing what is correct for people?
Well, I read Constitution too. The body has 6 humoral tissue states. We look at that. I'm constantly reading this individual as they're talking and speaking to me too. And sometimes if I'm not sure, let me see, what would be a really easy condition or a general condition that we can call on here? Well, even just the nervous system. You know, stress is such a, we're in the holiday season.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, stress is such a big thing. But say I have like 6 different plants in my head that I may want to use for this person. And just by talking and observing this person, you know, I will choose one of those plants that I want to use. Or if I'm not sure, I can do a pulse test. This is really amazing. I can take a tincture of the plant. Like say I use wild lettuce or if I use valerian, I could take a tincture of this and just drop it on their wrist and immediately it'll go into their bloodstream. We check pulses. That herb, as it's entering that body, you can feel the pulse change. It's amazing. It's so amazing. Like I'll have somebody and I'll sit there and I'll be feeling their pulse and I'll like, you're getting a lot calmer. And they'll be like, yeah, I'm melting into my chair just by a single drop of that remedy. It's amazing. Lots of times I'll do that, but lots of times I just know what herbs to use. My intuition develops more and more and more. And I can just read it with the individual, what plant to use for them. And then I give them a remedy. I can give them a tincture. I do a lot of glycerides because medicine, I'm a believer that medicine should taste good. And so I do a lot of glycerides for people. And I love to formulate. So I do a lot of formulas. But when I'm doing a formula for an individual, I'm choosing these plants that's going to blend with them. Like say, damp constitution, you want to give them more of a dry herb. You know, you want to use astringents and things like that. Because you're educated or because we know the plant, not just by how it looks and smells and tastes, but we know the chemistry that makes up that plant. And so then we know how to use that plant to the benefit of the individual. Does that kind of make sense?
That makes sense, yeah. You're looking for a response. You're also, I would think you would have to take into consideration, well, I know you would have to take into consideration any other therapies that they're going through at
absolutely,
the same time.
Absolutely. And everything. Like when I sit down and do a consultation is an hour and a half long. And sometimes the individual needs to vent. Sometimes that first 45 minutes of that consultation is just, or even hour of that consultation, this person is just talking to me. And, you know, that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth.
Right.
You know, so we listen.
Well, that'll tell you also what's going on in their life.
Oh, absolutely. And what's really amazing is sometimes I'll have somebody come in and they'll say, well, this is what's going on with me, or I've been just diagnosed with from my physician with this illness, whatever. And they'll sit there and talk, and I won't even treat them for that. And by the time we're done, they're like, well, what are you going to give me? I say, I'm going to give you this. Well, what's that for? I'm going to tell them what that's for. And they'd be like, well, that's not what I came in here for. And I say, well, this is why I feel this is the way we should go. And when I tell them that, they're like, oh, my gosh, I never thought of that. But, yes, that totally makes sense. And then they're amazed later on when I call them. Like, I do email or phone follow-up in 2 to 3 weeks just to see how the remedy is working. And then we do a follow-up like 6 weeks or 4 weeks after the initial consultation. And they're like, yeah, I'm feeling good. Things are better. Maybe the pain's gone or something like that. I'm a firm believer in if your nervous system is out of balance, it can manifest into these other things. Physical always doesn't happen by itself. There's a reason why that physical is happening. And in herbal medicine, we look for the source of this. If you're treating just the symptoms that you see in front of you, you're putting a Band-Aid on it.
Right.
You know, and that will help you feel good for a short period of time or whatever, but then it's going to come back again. And so we look for the source. Once you treat that source, well, then the symptoms go away too. Some people, you always can't just dive to that source, though. Mm-hmm. For some people, I can see layers and layers and layers of things going on. Well, we need to shave those layers one at a time. Because if you're not aware of really what's going on with that person, and if you start treating something going further and deeper into the body, you could set this condition deeper into the body that's going to take it longer to come back out. You have to be delicate. You can't just, okay, well, here, take this. For some people, especially if there's more nervous system, emotion, spirit things going on with them, you don't want to deep-seated physical condition into the body more than it is already. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yeah.
You know, yeah, you have to. I mean, human beings are delicate people. And if there's emotions going on here, look what trauma can do for a body. The death of a loved one can do to a body. I know I've had women with divorce that they just can't get over and put behind them. And you have to look at that too. I have had one lady, she had a pain in her back. And it was in the kidney meridian. So I'm like, this is a kidney thing here. And as we were talking and bringing things up, and then she was divorced. And I says, it's your husband. It's the ex-husband's got that pain there. And she says, yeah, he's a pain, you know, all right. And I told her, I says, but your systems, your organs hold emotion too. There's a positive and a negative, or a yin and a yang to that. And with her, it was fear, and your kidneys hold fear when they're out of balance. I gave her one drop of corn silk. 2 days later, she called me back and she says, that pain's gone. Because that's what I did. I treated the spirit of the kidneys.
Well, it makes sense because you have, for certain things, there's muscle memory, right? Why can't your organs have memory based off of something that they've gone through, whether it's traumatic
yes.
or not?
Yep. It's the energy. We all have, people call it the vibes. You know, you can feel vibes from other people. And that's your energy. We all have that. And every organ has an energy. You have this chi that flows through you, and that's your energy. And you have to look at that, too. You can't just always look at physical things, too, because there's a lot of emotion that goes on out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there is. And like I said, when that nervous system is out of balance, that'll create some physical things. Yes, there's people that just have physical issues going on.
Right.
Injury, whatever, or just something like that. Or, yeah, there's things like that, too, where you just treat that. But stress is awful. People really need to treat stress if they're under stress.
How do you know where something can be treated with what you do versus conventional medicine? Is there a line?
I think they complement each other. Allopathic medicine has its place. It's wonderful, some of the things that they can do. And we need that. And I refer clients, like when I have a client that comes in with whatever issue it may be or whatever health condition, I do ask them, do you have a doctor? Are you seeing a doctor? And if I think they need to go see a doctor, have some blood work up done, have an ultrasound done or something that I'm feeling that needs to be addressed with more of the modern technology, I will definitely say, yes, you know, you should go see your doctor and you should address this to your doctor. If I feel like there's a thyroid issue or something going on, I just had a lady not too long ago walk in and I says, I think you got a thyroid issue here. And I can't analyze that thyroid. I can see, because you can actually see signs on people. Sometimes like a thyroid may have a double ring on their neck.
Oh, yeah.
And hair falling out. Definitely the weight gain thing with hypo.
Or the eyes bulging. Right?
Eyes bulging for hyper, yeah. Yes. Or the eyebrows get thinner, too. And that's one thing a lot of people don't recognize. Usually the ends of the eyebrows will start to thin out. And they're like, oh, yes, my eyebrows are getting thinner. And I was like, you know, you should go to your doctor, you know, and have your thyroid tested and see what's going on with your thyroid. And even like with a massage, lots of times people, I'll say to people, when's the last time you had a good massage?
Oh my gosh.
That is so relieving.
I've been trying to get in for a couple's one with my husband for the longest time.
Those are so good. I have one of my daughters, her hips will go out of balance. And she'll go get a massage. Like, he'll right away pick up on it. And he'll say, oh, yeah, your hips are off again, you know. And even chiropractic, you know, acupuncture, all that stuff is wonderful. I know some people that do cranial sacral massage. It's all to bring yourself back into balance. And the biggest thing, though, is you need to ground yourself to the earth, too. As I was driving into town this morning, I'm looking at how beautiful
it's gorgeous.
It is. Oh, it's so beautiful outside. Do you know how many people don't see that? The snow on the trees and the weight of them on the pine boughs. It's so peaceful. I think a fresh snow like this is so cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever felt the peace of a snowflake?
Yeah, it goes quiet.
It does. It does. It's like, you know, rain is very soothing when you're hearing the rain on your roof or whatever, you know, like, but the snow, I mean, you can watch those snowflakes come down and they're so peaceful. And now is a time for like rejuvenating yourself. It's replenishing yourself. The plants are in sleep right now. They're resting. Everybody needs to rest. We're in winter. We're in the northern part of the country. Stoke up that fireplace, get a good cup of chai or a good cup of tea, you know, or something, and read a book, relax, watch it snow. It's just beautiful. And that's releases your stress.
Since you're an herbalist and you need the herbs, what happens in winter? I mean, I'm guessing you harvest throughout the year.
From spring till fall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. And then what do you do with all those herbs? How do you keep them in the state that they need to be in for you to be able to use them?
I dry a lot of them. It's amazing. If you dry them properly, you can have an herb in a jar for 10 years. And you can open that jar back up and it still has that vibrant color. When you harvest it, smell everything. It's just awesome. But I'll harvest them, I'll either dry them, I'll tincture them. I do more drying than anything, though, because I like to do a lot of glycerides. Like my glycerides is vegetable glycerin and distilled water is what your base is. And I started making a lot of syrups for kids. If you give a kid, you give a child a medicine and it doesn't taste good, they're not going to come back for a second dose. And then once I started doing that, a lot of my adults were like, well, why can't I have medicine like that, you know, instead of the tincture? And so I started doing a lot of that. So then I dry my herbs because I use the dried herbs when I make my glycerides. Otherwise, I tincture them. It's either tincturing or drying.
What is tincturing for those who don't know?
Tincturing is when you take the herb, like say you're digging up the burdock root, and you just take a quart jar, you put your burdock root in there, and you cover it with brandy. And a lot of your herbs, I mean, different herbs need a different percent of alcohol to extract that medicine. But brandy is 40% alcohol, and it's usually enough for a lot of them. And so you just cover it with the brandy, and then you put the lid on it, and you set it aside there, and you can... The herbs actually transform. They actually, you know, that alcohol extracts the medicine and all those properties and constituents from that plant. And actually, you can open that jar a couple days later. It doesn't smell like brandy at all. It smells like burdock root. And it's amazing. It does this transformation. I've had some plants actually transform like that into their tincture, you know, pull all those properties out within a few days.
Okay. Well, each of them's different, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Each of them's different. Black walnut does not tincture well. Black walnut needs to be extracted more with water or a glycerite or, you know, with your glycerin. And there's plants that do that. There are some plants that are more water soluble than they are alcohol soluble. So you need to know that too. Like ginkgo leaves are like leather. Have you ever tried tearing a ginkgo leaf?
And they smell, too, at different times of the year.
Well, that's the nuts. That's the female plant or the female tree. But, you need, I want to say it's 55% alcohol, you know, to extract from the ginkgo leaf. And I dry them and I do make tincture with them too. Ginkgo is a wonderful plant. And we have, Winona's
we
blessed
do have
to
them.
Have beautiful ginkgo trees.
7th Street has them. And when I was growing up, I'm not sure if that's still the case or not, but I remember walking home and seeing the ginkgo trees.
Woodland Cemetery, way in the back.
Okay.
There's a male and a female back there. And they are so beautiful. The female, it takes, I want to say it's 30 years before the female produces its nuts. And they smell really bad. I mean, really bad.
Yeah, it's musky.
Well, musky, it smells like somebody just threw up. It's really bad. And my granddaughter and I were harvesting some leaves because I harvest from the male and from the female, and I keep them separate. And I give them separate to male and female people, too, or but anyway, my granddaughter and I were out harvesting, and we were walking around and stepping on the nuts. We went over to Hy-Vee after that, and my daughter was with us, of course, too, and she had to go. She forgot something, so went down like two aisles, whatever, from us. And when she came back to us, she'd been around us, she just didn't smell it.
Right.
When she came back, she goes, "Do you know how bad you two really smell?" And I'm like, "No." And she's like, "You guys need to leave the store."
You became those people. Oh my word. Yeah.
I'm like, it was on us, and it's like, you don't smell it anymore, And she's like, but her leaving and coming back to us, she's like, "You guys really smell bad.
You gotta do something about that."
Yeah. So, it's like, I'm sorry, people around us. So, I kind of thought about that. I wonder how many people thought, "What is that smell?" But yeah, Mama Ginkgo, she has an odor to her. her nuts have an odor to her.
Now, earlier you said you've seen herbs heal a bone in a week.
Yes.
How is that possible?
It's possible because of the plants. I'm a very spiritual person. Our creator, our grandfather, created these plants and created this medicine for us. And my son and my husband, too, when I was in training, they're like accident prone.
Oh, yeah. We've got some of those in our family.
Yeah. And my son at the time was, I want to say 14 or something like that, 13, 14. And he was just always breaking something. Well, he had a four-wheeler. 14-year-old kid on a four-wheeler, he's going over these jumps. And he broke his wrist. And one weekend when he did it, I'm like, this is a break. But the way it swelled and things like that. But I poulticed it up right away, we did the herbal thing on it right away. And then, by the end of the week, he's like, "Oh, my wrist feels great." He's back on the four-wheeler again. Goes over the jump again and smacks his wrist again. And I'm like, this time we are going in. I want to see an x-ray. We need to get this x-ray. I need to see what's going on inside of here. And we go in there, and the doctor's looking at the x-ray. And he's saying, "Oh, you have an old break here." I'm like, "No, that was last week." And he's like, because you could see two different breaks. And they're just a small fracture, a small hairline fracture. And he's like, "No, this is an old one." And I says, "Well, he's never broken a bone in his body up until now." And so it was very interesting to see that. I knew it was broke the week before. And to see that a week later, how it repaired itself. And I mean, I've seen accidents, where broken sternum, poulticing them with, I use mullein leaf as my favorite bone healing remedy. But right away with trauma, when it happens at the impact, when you start using it, like my son again, went and got the mail and was running down the hill and tumbled over a rock and broke his collarbone. And so that, you could just see how the break was.
Oh, yeah.
But we went in anyway. I says, "Let's get this x-ray." And we put a mullein leaf on it on the way to the hospital. And then he kept it on there. He said when he would take it off, it would be pain and throbbing. And he put it back on. And he says it felt like it was pushing. He could feel the pressure pushing on it. Mullein leaf is an analgesic, which is a pain reliever. So it did exactly that. And I've actually treated somebody with a broken sternum like that, too. He said, yes. He says, you keep that leaf on there. He says, it's totally comfort. Didn't need any pain meds at all. He was just fine with that. So, yeah, I've seen it firsthand, in my family, how, the opportunity to see, x-rays. It's amazing. It is really, really amazing.
So if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Well, I have an office on the west end of town.
Okay.
It's right off of Highway 61 in Little Brick Building next to the Severson Car Wash. It's Simply Be Natural is my product line name, and so that's above the door there, and they can just walk in anytime.
And you do have some things that are already made up, some salves, things of that nature that are general, but then you do the consultations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My product line is basically general health issues, whatever. Yeah, salves for cuts and bruises and burns. And I have a ringworm salve. I treat a lot of animals, too. I treat horses and pigs and cats and dogs. And oh, my favorite story with an animal is with a dwarf gerbil.
Oh,
I guess they're pretty neurotic with cleansing themselves.
Yeah.
And he ripped his ear, like, and the lady says he just really cut it, like it was.
He was into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And she took him to the vet, you know, and he gave her a cream to put on it, and the gerbil had nothing to do with that cream. He actually bit her, she said, when she tried to apply it. And she's like, what am I going to do? She found me and came to me, and I said, oh, use my first aid ointment here. That'll work great. And she said she put it in her palm of her hand, opened up the lid, and put her hand to the cage to open the door to let him out. And she said he was already at that door. She opened the door. He jumped into the palm of her hand and ate half of the jar. Well, now she's frantic that he ate half of this jar of the salve. And so she called me, and I said, oh, no, that's fine. I said, see, he's an animal. I said, he is so one with nature, he knows what's going to heal him. And, yeah, he was healed. She says she was amazed at how fast that ear healed up. And he sat there perfectly still while she'd put that ointment on his ear. And I've done that with horses. I was out digging burdock root with a friend of mine, and I bent over to pick up my roots. I held them up in my hand, and the horse started eating them. And I'm like, he's got a really toxic liver. What happened to this horse? And she said, oh, he fell in the manure pit, and we almost lost him. And I says, keep digging him burdock root. And I says, when he doesn't want any more, when he ignores them, and I says, then he's had enough. I says, they know, you know, when they're good. And that horse lived to be an old age. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And so I have a lot of things that can be used on horses, or pets, I should say, too, or whatever, too. But I have other general remedies for, you know, like colds. I have a virus away capsule that I tell people, use them when you get the first symptoms of something coming on. Boost your immune system. Then the virus, it's amazing. The virus doesn't even settle in the body because you've taken the first action. And, oh, lots of things. I have a complete baby line. I'm a grandmother of 11.
Oh, wow. Congrats. So,
from age 8 down to 2 months. Well, actually 6 weeks.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I've really done a lot of product and development with the kids and things. So, yeah, I have a complete baby line from diaper rash to colic to actually things to help boost their immune system, too. You know, runny noses, things like that. And lots of things that just developed. The product line developed over the last 12 years of my practice. You know, I've had somebody coming in, like, with a urinary tract infection or something. And for a while there, I was treating so many of those, I thought, you know, why don't I just put these in the capsule, put them on the shelf? People can come in and get them instead of having to sit down and do a consultation. And so that's how a lot of it developed, was just from repeating things over and over. And so I thought, just put it on the shelf and they can pick it up. And I've gone through all my FDA stuff too. Well, I've always disclosed everything that I put in the bottle on the label anyway. The FDA is making sure all these supplement companies do this now. I've always done that. So, I mean, I've done all my FDA and all my, I'm to par with all my FDA regulations that I have to do. And so it's not just a simple business, really.
No.
You know, there's a lot involved to it. A lot involved into, you know, just the medicine itself and stuff, too. But it's a wonderful practice. I love what I do.
That's great. I love the good tell.
Yeah, I love it. When you can make somebody's day and put a smile on somebody's face, what better paycheck?
Right.
<You know? laughs> So it is. It's, I mean, I don't want to say paycheck by paycheck, you know, but that's not why I do this.
Well, no, it's paying it forward in a way.
It's a metaphor, it's totally a metaphor, yes.
You have a website?
Yes, herbsbybonnie.com.
Okay, and a Facebook, right?
Yes, my daughter takes care of that. She does more of the Facebook thing than I do.
And do you have specific hours that you're at the location?
From 9 to 5:30 during the week and then 9 to noon on Saturday.
Great. Well, I hope you'll stop by again at some point.
Yes, I love this. Okay. I love this. I'm a talker.
We like that. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
A big thank you goes out to Bonnie Krakow for sharing with us today on Art Beat. More information on Bonnie can be found at www.herbsbybonnie.com or through Facebook at Community Herbalist Simply Natural Herbal Products. You've been listening to Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.